So the now what? For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, the now what is going to be amazing. Right? Because for the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about now what. We're going to talk about now what, bless everyone. Now what, love everyone. And now what, tell everyone. And then we're going to go into Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to encourage none of you to come with an empty seat in your vehicle. Right, matter of fact, you can start praying for the seats right now of where you're, who's going to sit next to you. You can like picture in your mind all of the seats around you. Fill them with people that you know. Fill them with people who aren't connected to another church. Fill them with people who, if they were going to, like, something tragic were going to happen in the next couple weeks, you know they'd probably spend eternity apart from God. Fill it with people who need Jesus, because that's what we're going to talk about on Easter Sunday morning. You know, this past week, the Grand Forks Herald celebrated this event called the Flood of 1997. Right? How many of you were there? Right? And some of you weren't even born yet, right? It was 20 years ago, and this flood filled our city with water. And so the Herald wants to have a memorial for it, or an honorary something, and I thought that was a great idea, but here's the deal. I want the city to flood again. Just don't panic, right? I am praying, and we are praying, that God would flood the city, the entire region, with his hope and love, with followers of Jesus Christ who are making a difference around them, that people would be splashed to the ankles with the love and the affection of God's kingdom, that people's knees would get wet because people who love Jesus are splashing the love of Christ all around them, that people who are driving by on I-29, that they'd be driving maybe on their way to Fargo if they're going south, literally, or Canada, right? And they'd be driving along and they'd feel this change in the barometric pressure of the area. They'd be driving along and say, hey, Betty, did you notice that? I sure did, Lyle. It felt like some changes going on. And then people would want to roll down the highway, down into the city, and they would sense something. The spiritual barometric pressure of the city would be different, that the air would be different, filled with the love of Jesus Christ, because there are so many followers of Jesus Christ making a difference in the region that people, if they wanted to go to hell, would have to move to Fargo. Right? That the love of God, the blessing of God would be so thick that people would have to rent canoes and sail over the surface of the water if they didn't want to be touched by God's love. I don't think God has left his church on earth by accident. I think he's left us here on purpose, for a purpose, to bring more and more and more people to worship him. People apart from Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us, spend eternity apart from God. That should be unacceptable for any of us who love Jesus Christ. To know anybody who doesn't have a vital, alive, real relationship with Christ, that should drive us bonkers. And the only option is maybe some of us don't believe it. Maybe we don't actually believe what God has said. Maybe we somehow think, well, there'll be some kind of escape clause. Which means basically, and I don't, it means basically we're saying God's a liar. So for the next couple weeks, we're going to hit it really hard in a beautiful way, because I am praying that this church and every church in this community would be unleashed, soaking people in the blessing and the love and the message of God's good news. Right? That if anybody wants to get away, they'd have to run. Right? So let me just read this passage. It's found in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 5. Let me set it up for you. God created this world, right? And he looked at it, and every day he said, ah, that's good. That's good. And he made it day after day after day. Oh, that's good. And when he made mankind, he breathed life into them. He said, oh, that's really good. That's very good. And everything was amazing. And then people turned their back on him. Humanity said, I'm not going to trust you. I feel like you might hold out on me, so I'm not going to obey you. I'm afraid to trust you. And they took life into their own hands. And they made their own decisions against the obedience to God, against his favor, against his love, against his grace. And they chose rebellion. And then the next chapter later, brothers are killing brothers. It's horrible. Pretty soon, by Genesis chapter 6, people, God looks at them and he's sorry that he even made them, he says. And he takes and he preserves one family in a boat through a flood. And he said, I'm not just saving you for you. I'm saving for you to fill the earth and multiply it with people who will love me. And then when you get to chapter 12, God selects one person. And he says, out of you, I'm going to make a great nation. Out of you, I want the entire world to be blessed. I want my hand to be given to everybody who will listen. My words, my good news, my care, my blessing, my favor, I want it to be go through you. That man's name was Abram. We know him now as Abraham. That God chose to bless him so that he would be a blessing for everybody. If you think God just meant the salvation of God's kingdom to be just for you, you've missed the message of Scripture. God has placed it in us for everybody. Listen to this. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. Let me just do a little aside. Some of us, when we hear something of God, we want all the details first. God says, I want you to move. Well, where? He didn't tell Abram where. He said, trust me on the way. In your obedience, if you have to have all the details, if you have to know everything's going to be worked out first, if you have to have God spell it out for you, you're probably not truly trusting God. Right? Let me start over. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Just a little aside here. Some of you think your time is up. Or you think, I'm too old for impact. I'm too old to really, really change the world. God didn't start with a 27-year-old here. He picked a 75-year-old. And the promise wasn't even fulfilled till much, much later. Matter of fact, when you come to Easter, those of you who are 75 years or older, you ought to make sure your vehicle's not empty. It shouldn't be just you and your spouse. Go kidnap little children from, no, I'm just. Well, don't anybody quote me on that. That could be in the paper. I could be in all kinds. Go invite all the kids from your neighborhood to go with the grandma and grandpas of the community to church on Easter Sunday morning. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. See, we have this mission as a church to encourage people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, who let God love them, who love him in return, and who love others in Jesus' name. I'm praying that God would pour us out as a blessing to this region, that everybody who is in the vicinity of a follower of Jesus Christ, that their life would be better because of the presence of Christ in that person. Here's my first point this morning. God loves to bless. God loves to bless and to be blessed. God loves to bless and be blessed. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Listen to this from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. All your saints shall bless you. You know what this is? This is God blessing us and us blessing him in return. This is like a relationship. Here's your second fill in there. God is a relational God. He invites us to call him Father. God isn't just the kind of God that's standing up in heaven saying, I am the God of Abraham. Right? He's up there saying, call me Dad. Call me Father. I want to do relationship with you. You know how the father, you guys, most of you understand this. When you watch your kids doing something that is amazing, that is beautiful, you stand back as a dad or as a mother and you go, oh my goodness, I love that they're loving that. I love that they're enjoying that. I love that they're talking like that. I love that they're dancing. I love that they're singing. I love that they're running. I love that they're playing hockey. I love that they're playing instruments. I love that they're using their brains. I love watching my kids. How do you think God reacts when he watches you worship? Like when you come in here and you lift your voices, you move your hands, you move your bodies. I know some of us think God is up there saying,
would you guys settle down, please? This is a Norwegian place. Stop moving.
I don't think God acts like that at all. I think God loves to see his people filled with joy and excitement and dancing. Sure, there's a place for the solemn and the piety and the quiet. Absolutely, but I think God loves them both. The Father loves to bless, to pour favor on his children, to pour love and affection and grace and mercy. And then he loves to be blessed. I was thinking about this. How do you bless God? How do you pour favor? It's not like we pour favor back on him. You know what we do? We thank him. We pour gratitude back to God. Again, like with your kids, you give them something and they, in a sincere moment, come back to you and they say, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Like your heart's just like pounding. That's how we bless God back. Listen to this. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. When was the last time you sat down and rehearsed the blessings of God on your life? They're material blessings. Some of you have a car. When was the last time you thanked God for the wheels? For the car itself. When was the last time you thanked God for your home? When was the last time you thanked God for the food on your table? I mean, sincerely. When was the last time you thanked God for your husband? Hello. Or your wife. Or your kids. Or your dog who pees on the floor. When was the last time you actually rehearsed the things that God has given you? Some of you have a bank account, and you think in the back of your mind, I earned this. The only reason you have the ability to earn is because God has put breath in your lungs. Just to be thankful. Denzel Washington, who's the actor, right? Started in the movie Glory and started in The Preacher's Wife and some other movies. Remember the Titans and Training Day? I can't vouch for his faith in Jesus Christ or not, but this is pretty amazing. In a November 2015 banquet at a church, he said this. He said, give thanks for the blessings every day. Every day. Embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time. I pray that you put your slippers way under your bed at night so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to start out on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say thank you. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere. See, God loves to bless and to be blessed. Some of us are living in a space where we're saying, I don't feel God's blessing lately. Maybe you need to get under God. Maybe your disobedience or your rebellion has moved you away from him. And so he's pouring out blessings, but you're too far from him to receive them. Maybe it's time to come back home. Because he does. That's the nature, that's the posture of God. When you read the Bible, he loves to bless. That's who he is. He's the God of unmerited favor and blessing. Number two, because he's blessed you, he calls us, like he did with Abraham, to bless everyone else. Bless everyone. Bless with what you have. I will make you a great nation, God says to Abram, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Finally, this is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. To this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Receive blessing, return blessing to him, and give blessing to others, so that he can pour more blessing on you, so that you can bless him back, and so that you can bless others, so that he can bless you, so that you can bless him back, so that he can bless others, so that he can bless you, so you can bless him back, so he can bless others. It's this amazing thing that God wants to do. If you're filling in your sermon notes, what is a blessing? To bless is to desire and project God's good, his favor, onto and into another person. When we say to bless everyone, we're saying, I want to bring God's favor to you. I want to relate to you in such a way that I'm bringing the blessings of the kingdom onto you. Whether you're a person who loves Jesus or not, whether you're a person who's like me or not, whether you're a person who's old, young, medium age, male, female, whatever it is, God says, bless everyone. Bring the presence and the love and the grace, the goodness, the favor of God to that person. To bless is to desire and project God's good, his favor, onto and into another person. It's not magical. It's more prayerful. It's not casual. It's intentional. It's you saying, I want to, when I come into this space, I want to bless. It's the Hebrew word barach. Can you try that? Barach. Go ahead. Barach. A little bit more. A little bit more of that. Come on. Barach. It means to bless. It means to pour favor. It means to pour God's affection. It's more about him than you. You're like the vessel. It most often in the Bible includes touch, where you would reach out and hold someone's hand, or place your hand on their forehead, or on their shoulder. And while you're speaking words, you would say, God, bless this person. Pour favor into their life. God, let your affection penetrate their heart. It's something mysterious. It's you imparting something that God wants to impart through you to them. You are blessed to be a blessing. Listen, Dallas Willard is actually, he's passed away now. He's written all kinds of amazing books on discipleship and being a follower of Jesus. He says this. It's a long reading, but let me read. If you could hang with me for a moment. Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. It isn't just words. It's the actual putting forth of your will for the good of another person. It always involves God, because when you will the good of another person, you realize only God is capable of bringing that to happen. So we naturally say, God bless you, because you can't. You're the vessel. It isn't bless you said through gritted teeth. It's a generous outpouring of our whole being into the blessing of another person. So among other things, you don't want to hurry a blessing. It becomes a habit that we say thoughtlessly, God bless you, when someone sneezes. Well, that's better than a lot of other things we could say. But we want to be able to put our whole self into the blessing. That is something we need to be thoughtful about. We don't just rattle off a blessing. It's a profoundly personal and powerful act. It's us seeking to pour the blessings of God into someone else. It's us fulfilling the call of God to bless, because he wants us to do that. And some of us might, in the back of our mind, say, well, who am I to do that? Who am I to bless somebody? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. I'm not even really that good of a person at all. The truth is, if you have Jesus Christ, if you have the knowledge of God in you, he has called you to that. He says it this way in 1 Peter, but you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your birthright is changed. You go from being a not a person in God's kingdom. Not that you don't matter to him, but you go from no birthright for inheritance of God's kingdom to a person who's a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your very inheritance and life is changed in you, and God moves in and dwells in you, and he commands you, invites you, encourages you to bless the people around you. When was the last time you put your hand on a kid and honestly poured the blessing of God into them? I have been practicing this for a couple years, not like in arrogance, actually in an accountability, with this understanding that God has put something in us that we ought to touch people and bless them and care for them and pour the love of God into them. In your friends, your co-workers, your relatives, your acquaintances. You know, Jesus did it this way. He was living, walking, doing his ministry, and people started bringing all these little kids up to him. And the disciples, because they were trying to do the right thing, they kept pushing the kids away. He said, leave him alone. He's busy. He's important. He's God. And God reached down and grabbed those little kids and put them on his lap and poured blessing on them. Don't you think that's just Jesus who gets to do that? That's Jesus in you who still wants to do that. For you to place your hand on your friend, say, look, I'm going to pray for you this week, and I'm going to ask God to pour blessing in you. And while I'm saying that to you, I'm going to pray that into you right now. That you would take your kids, and when they leave the house in the morning, that you would sincerely bless them. Rather than, you make your bed when you get home. How about make you know the favor of God today as you go serve him and be loved by him? My son Daniel and I, a couple years ago, had the opportunity to go to Kenya. And we were up in the Rift Valley, and we were visiting a Maasai tribe, the guys who jump really high, and they lion hunters. And we were out there in the tribe, and instinctively we would go shake people's hands, but the kids wouldn't shake our hands. Their tradition is this. When you shake an adult's hand, the adult will take his own hand and put it on his elbow like that. This is true in a lot of Africa, and that's a sign of respect. Matter of fact, some of the people who are from Africa in our church, when you notice that, if you're an elder, they will put their hand on their forearm and shake your hand, meaning they're respecting you. But with the kids, what they would do is they would put their hands by their side, and they would lean forward like this, and I didn't know at first what I was supposed to do. And I watched around as the elders placed their hands on the kids' heads. It poured blessing into them. Can you imagine what would happen in your neighborhood if when you drove by a house, you would bless that house? When you shook your neighbor's hand, if you would speak blessing into their life? When you lean against someone's desk at work, that you'd pour blessing into them prayerfully, that when you talk to a child in your classroom, that you'd place their hand on their shoulder and you'd be praying for them the whole time you're talking to them about their math problems or their dangling participles. I don't even know what that is. All I know is they dangled all over when I was in high school. Listen to this. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God has given you so much. How about if you decide, and this is going to sound arrogant at first, but please don't receive it this way. Bless everyone with your presence. Bless everyone with your presence. By that I mean, when you are a follower, and you've heard me say this a bunch, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, wherever you go, Christ goes into that space with you. It's not an arrogance thing. It's an acknowledgement thing. It's an accountability thing that you are there representing Christ. That when we are attentive to the presence of Christ in us and we are attentive to Christ's presence when we enter into a space, it's this dual awareness that I'm bringing Christ in here and my presence matters because Jesus matters in this space. When you walk into a office, when you walk into a store, when you walk into a bank, when you walk, drive in your, you bring the presence of Christ there. There's an accountability to your heart to be attentive to that. That you bring his presence. And then the question is, are the people appreciating how you present him or not? Because part of our behavior depicts whether Jesus is present or not. And many of us enter into behavior where it displays to everybody around us, I must not be attentive to the presence of Christ. How about if you bless everyone around you with your possessions? If you say to God, God, everything I have, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to live open-handed with it. If you want to release something, if you want to release part of my savings, whatever you want to do, God, I'm not going to crazy accumulate. I want to crazy be generous. Right? All that I am and all that I have belongs to God if, in fact, you believe the Bible. And so he has access to it. How about bless everyone with your story? Oh, I don't have that good of a story. Are you kidding me? If you know Jesus Christ, you have the story. You have his story. Some of you have been through massive suffering and pain. You've been through massive struggle, and you think that you should hide that from other people. How about release that and say, God, I'm not going to put it on a billboard, but if you want me to share it with someone, it's yours. Some of you have been followers of Jesus Christ since as early as you can remember, and you've been preserved from a lot of that pain. What a blessing. How about tell that story? How about say to God, whatever is happened inside of me because of you, that's yours. I'll give you that. Some of you, you ought to start figuring out how you can bless everyone with your spiritual gifts. Some of you have the gift of mercy, right? When you go to the hospital, you go to the hospital and you just represent you, by the way, you don't represent just you. You represent the church of Christ. You represent hope. When you go visit, some of you, I'm just doing this as me. Don't do it just as you. You can never do anything as a follower of Jesus Christ just as you. If you go visit someone, say, you know, on behalf of the church, I want to pray for you. On behalf of Jesus, I want to pray for you. Because I love Christ, I'm here to visit with you. Represent. Because here's what some people think. Some people think that the spiritual gifts and all the work of the church should be done just by the pastors. That's not even in the Bible. It's actually not even biblical for us to think like that. We all are the church. And some of you have spiritual gifts of mercy. Some of you have spiritual gifts of hospitality that people feel welcome when you're around. Right? You ought to, matter of fact, when you sit down in worship, the people next to you ought to know your name. You ought to know their name. You ought to just be hospitable because it's his house. You're a guest here in his house. Be pleasant to the people he's brought alongside you. Right? This isn't just about us. This is about him. Some of you have gifts of service and leadership. What would happen if you just said to God, all of my abilities, they're yours? Here's the last, number three. Bless everyone with your words. Bless everyone with your words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:21, that you have the power to have your words embedded with the presence and power of Christ. When you speak to someone, that you can speak in a way that pours blessing on their life, that pours the favor of God onto their life. And some of us, again, we don't believe that our words have power. They do. It's a mysterious thing, but we know that when people say hateful things, it sticks. What if we can give them beautiful things? Again, there's this, the theory of the recency theory. It's that the thing the person hears last is what sticks in their heart. So when you leave a space and you turn around and you say, hey, bless you guys. Or when your kids leave, blessings on you guys. The thing that sticks in your head is the thing that they hear last. Why not pour the favor of God on people as you depart a room or as you enter a space? Pour something of the goodness of God. It says in Ephesians, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This word unwholesome talk, the word unwholesome basically means rotten or stinky, like bad fruit. And some of us, we specialize in foul and dirty language. And we say, oh, that's just the way I am. Well, how about let God transform that? Do you know in the Bible, in actually Matthew chapter 12, it says that we'll give an account for every idle word as well? Do you know that? You know what an idle word is? An idle word is a word that's not really intended to go anywhere. We just say them. Like, this is how I cover it. Just kidding. Never mind. I say things that aren't intended to go anywhere. None of our words are idle. For those of us who are verbose, right, we got to be careful about that kind of thing. Do you know what the word benediction means? It's to speak well of. To speak into somebody. You know, there's this blessing, this benediction that we often do. And I want to invite you to do it as well. Let me say a phrase, and then you say it after me, would you? The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. The Lord pour his favor on you. The Lord hold you and watch after you. The Lord protect you. The Lord lift up his face, as his face shine upon you and his countenance upon you, that the Lord would be attentive to your life, that he'd be gracious to you, that he'd pour that favor, and that he'd grant you that peace that passes all understanding, that goes deep into your life. Can you imagine what would happen if the people of Hope unleashed blessing on our community? You were given this sheet. And on here is, it's actually titled Bless. And the first part of it's in your sermon notes. I'm not going to fill that out. The answers are in here. You can go get them and fill out your sermon notes. But here's what I want to invite you to do. There's two pieces to this. Actually, three pieces. On the right-hand side, there's these little cards. When you fill them out, they should be identical. And here's what we encourage you to do. We've been doing this for years here. Matter of fact, some of you who are here this morning have been on my list of people I've been praying for. So list the names of people that you know don't know Jesus yet, that you'll commit to pray for between today and the rest of the year, or at least between now and Easter. Take your second identical list, and we're going to pass a basket at the end of the service, or you can put it in the Welcome Center, or at the ushers will have the baskets at the doors. But give us this list, and we'll start praying for those people as well. This is like a declaration to say, God, I'm committing to pray for people that don't know you yet. This may be the very list that you use. Maybe not, but it might be the very list you use to invite your friends to Easter service where they can hear about the amazing blessings of God. So as a church, we're on a mission. It's not just here, we're not just here to take care of ourselves. The church was never meant to do that alone. The church was meant to be made stronger disciples, but also to make more. So we encourage you, be a blessing to those around you, especially when you see kids. Just pour love into them. Amen.
By the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hand. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide. And he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Oh, every with every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. There's silence at the table, he wants to talk, but he's not able, for all the shame that's locked him deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again. Forgiveness will set him free tonight. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Oh, 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 with every act of love, Jesus, help us carry you. Alive in us, your light shines through. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you. I said, God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
When you receive a blessing, you don't have to bow your head, you don't have to close your eyes. Matter of fact, if you want to, you can hold out your hands. It's an honor for me to ask God to bless you. May the Lord our God bless you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May our God who loves you grant you his peace. Go into the world. Be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Let God love you. Love him in return. And in a crazy, generous way, love others in Jesus' name. Go be church.